This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
Hello, hello, good morning here. It's Access Radio Taranaki, 104.4 FM, your voice, your choice. We are here in the studio making ourselves at home in this beautiful day of Monday. Yes, good morning, good morning. How are you today?
Doing great.
Doing great.
Yeah. So enjoying the weather.
Enjoying the weather. So here is Alina from Romania, and I have today with me my co-host today, Brian from the U.S., and we have our guest, Bronwyn. How are you guys today?
Very well.
Enjoying the sunny weather, that's for sure.
Yes.
I got to ride my bike into town.
It's really excellent.
Nice. Yeah.
Excellent, excellent. So today we have our guest, Bronwyn Huge. So she's a proud fourth-generation New Zealander and Tangata Tiriti. Bronwyn was born and raised in Whanganui and trained as a nurse in the 80s at Taranaki Polytech. Mm-hmm. So her journey has taken her all the way to Arkansas Children's Hospital in the U.S. So you have a lot in common with Brian, I'm sure. Through roles of health advocacy and into the world of visual arts, costuming, singing, and dancing. Mm-hmm. And these days you will find Bronwyn living the good life of a lifestyle block in Taranaki. And I know that she is growing beautiful flowers there and herbs under the watchful gaze of the Moanga and getting creative on Performing Arts Collective. So yeah, please welcome Bronwyn today. Thank you for taking the time and giving us an interview.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, no worries.
So we like to start with our guests about filling us in on their journey on how they ended up in Taranaki, and I guess in your case, returning back to New Zealand.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I only stayed in Arkansas very briefly. I was meant to be there for 12 months, but I'd actually gotten pregnant before I flew out, unknown to me. And I decided to come back to New Zealand to have my baby because it was very, very clear to me that staying in the United States, even back in 1990, was going to be an issue because under my health insurance, that pregnancy was a pre-existing condition, so I would not have been able to afford to have a baby there. So I thought, well, natural return home. And so I was a mother for a long time, dedicated years to being a mother. I returned to nursing for a time and then became a health and disability advocate because I have a very strong passion for helping people and redressing balance of power. I see a major power imbalance in a lot of systems, and that's why I became an advocate. And over a period of time, I realized that I needed to take some time away from that to take care of myself and follow my other passions, which of course is art and creativity. And I find that very therapeutic. And I mean, I love being out in nature. So when I left my advocacy job, I was looking for work, a complete career change. And I started looking for work in Taranaki. Mm. And coincidentally, at the same time, I bumped into my my husband, Vince, at the steampunk festival in Thames, of all places. There was a seat, empty seat next to me, and he came and sat down. We started talking, and ta-da, the universe intervened, and I ended up here in New Plymouth.
Nice.
Living on a beautiful lifestyle property. It is a work in progress. We live in a very small unfinished house, but that's fine because I get to spend hours outdoors working the land, and it's just absolutely amazing. I pinch myself sometimes when I turn around because one direction's the Maunga, turn around, and the other direction's the sea. So Maunga, Moana, it's absolutely amazing. Mm. Alina, you've been to my property, you've seen it.
I was lucky enough to be there at Bronwyn's wedding. So
yeah, in fact, Alina was one of my bridesmaids.
Oh. Yes, yeah, it was beautiful. She has such a beautiful place there. And recently she's trying to make more of it. So I really enjoy that you have some other small cabins. You have a small cabin.
We have a small cabin. The long-term development plan is to be able to open up and be able to share that property with a lot of other people. We've got all sorts of ideas about how we can actually, obviously we'll have an income from holiday accommodation maybe, mm-hmm. but definitely the flowers and the herbs and actually opening the property up to being able to have art on display out there. We want to do a sculpture garden.
Yeah.
Where people can actually purchase the art. So that's another project privately. So yeah, coming here has been absolutely amazing because the opportunities that I've had here, in particularly in New Plymouth, but Taranaki broadly, have been incredible. Mm. And I've got to meet, one of the things I love about the region, and particularly here in Naumutu, New Plymouth, is the multicultural diversity here.
Yeah.
I mean, I met Alina through belly dance, and it was an eclectic group, wasn't it? You know, Fifth Element belly dance with yeah. Rose. We are wide and varied from all sorts of parts of the world, which is one of the things that I've always loved, and it's one of the things I love most about being here. Mm-hmm. The number of people who've come here and made New Plymouth their home, and now getting to actually be part of the performing arts collective and following all of my interests have kind of dovetailed into that one situation where I get to make costume, I design things so I can start back into my visual arts. And it's actually been a real joy coming here and actually putting down roots in Taranaki.
Yeah.
There's a real density of interesting things to do and people here. It's not a very highly populated area, but there's just a density of really great people and great things to get involved with.
Yeah, absolutely amazing people. I just love the eclectic collection of personality and so many creative people who want to think outside the box. We're not kind of limited to doing things. And it's the first place where I've really felt just, you spitball an idea, it can be completely crazy. And somebody from the community will go, yeah, that's really cool. How can we develop that? And I feel more welcome here than I ever did in my hometown. Wow. And I know that might sound strange
amazing,
to some people,
yeah.
but the reality is it's often the way that it's like with family as well. Sometimes in the place you come from, people have got kind of preconceived ideas about who you are or what you should be doing. So if you want to break free and start down a whole new path, often coming to a new place is the best way to do that. Mm-hmm. And it's not about thinking, oh, the grass is greener here. It's just literally about looking for opportunity and community. And I've definitely found community here in New Plymouth that I have never had anywhere else. It's one of the things I keep raving to people who say, yeah, come here, come here, come here. It's just an amazing place.
Yes.
Yeah, not too many people. And we want people who have got that fun, funky attitude towards life and diversity. It's one of the things that I love about the region.
Mm-hmm. And how long ago did you arrive in Taranaki?
And
have you spent much time here before?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I moved here permanently back in November of 2018.
Okay.
So it's a few years now. Previous to that, I'd come back and forth occasionally when I was working as an advocate. I had to come over here from time to time to do training sessions. I used to actually facilitate training for other team members and within the health and disability sector. Mm-hmm. So I have a lot of experience in tailored presentations from everything from workshops with residents and aged care facilities through to corporate workshops.
Amazing.
Yeah, so I got used to it. And coming over here every time, it felt like I was leaving home when I left. I didn't want to leave. And previous to that, obviously, as you mentioned in my intro, Alina, I did my nursing studies here back in the 1980s. And that was for 3 years. And to be honest, at that time, New Plymouth, it wasn't the gem you see it as now. Mm. The waterfront was extremely depressing, to put it politely. And to come back and forth over the years and see New Plymouth develop and actually working towards the potential, and it's getting better all the time. I just see more and more progress and more potential and development. The waterfront now is absolutely amazing. Mm.
Yeah,
it's one of my favorite places to be, especially on a day like today.
Still some odd land uses on the waterfront, but
yeah. Well, I mean, that goes right back to the very beginning, because understanding the history of Naumutu, it was a trade center. It was always a port city, so it was very industrialized on the waterfront. So congratulations for achieving what they have so far.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, having access, you know, community access to that gorgeous waterfront is remarkable. So I've seen New Plymouth back in the 1980s when it, to be fair, was quite industrial and a little bit depressing, to now this absolutely beautiful, vibrant place where you can just go down and relax on the waterfront. And it's, I love it.
And I think I never heard somebody talking about New Plymouth from the 80s. So I think you're the first person who is talking about us. So thank you for giving a little bit history on New Plymouth and how it was before.
Yeah, you're welcome. I mean, we've come a long way here. I think we still have a little way further to go. I'm also mindful of the history of Parihaka in the region, and that, that's quite an incredible history around here. And my husband, when he and his first wife, sadly, Sue passed away, so when I met Vince, he was a widower. When they bought the property together, they were very mindful about buying land that wasn't contentious. They were very, very careful to look at the history of the piece of land that they bought so that they weren't actually buying into that colonizing ideal. So again, to be honest, the spirit and energy of the place is absolutely wonderful. It just feels welcoming and healing. And I think that's part of why, because there's just a warmth and welcoming on the land. But, you know, 3 years as a nursing student, that was interesting. I used to hang out at Pukekura Park in lunchtimes because you could walk across from what is now WIT, have lunch there on a beautiful day and then cruise back. And I loved it. I really did love that part of New Plymouth. And then I moved to Christchurch for 9 years, pre-earthquake, of course. Sadly, that place is unrecognizable now because of the earthquakes. But that was an interesting place. And, and again, what I enjoyed about Christchurch was very much what I enjoy about Taranaki, and it was about the multicultural community. I used to go down to the art centre, especially on the market days, and just sit and listen, and you would hear all of these different languages and accents. It was really cool, you know, just especially during summer tourism.
Yeah.
You'd have German over there, you would have French over there, you'd have different dialects from Africa. It was just absolutely amazing. And that is, I guess, part of why I've joined the Performing Arts Collective, because, again, very diverse group of people. And it's one of my favourite things about this community here.
Yeah, and can you tell us a little bit more about performing arts and when was founded and who is part of it and how can we be part of it?
Okay, so Performing Arts Collective has been around for quite a few years, well before my time here. Kerry Elvin is the director and she is a powerhouse. I mean, Kerry just does so much. And we have people who represent singing, dancing, musicians. We also have models. We have young people actually modelling. Basically, the Performing Arts Collective is about encouraging people into the arts, especially young ones. We want to encourage and get a lot of young people, with a lot of children and families involved. We have family bands. Upcoming for the Limelight show on Saturday, we have one band. It's a father and daughter and the daughter's best friend. So,
amazing.
From India.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so this collection of people presenting their style of music and their performance and costuming, it's really literally like travelling across the planet without having to leave New Plymouth. It's great.
It's very cool. Yeah. So,
and you'll be performing?
I will be performing.
Would you like to describe
I forgot
your performance?
To mention that, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so Limelight, the theme of Limelight, if you think of the old theatrical lighting that was once upon a time used in front of the stage, they were horribly, horribly dangerous, and many actresses caught a light. The lime, of course, it was lime that was burning very, very brightly.
Interesting.
So the idea of Limelight is to shine and be under the light. And so we're giving everyone performing the opportunity to shine and actually show their light and be under the limelight. So the first act of the evening is a piece that I came up with. It's very much a fusion. I do fusion style belly dance, so I bring in belly dance ideas plus a little bit of contemporary dance plus a little bit of ballet sometimes. And I'll be working with Isis wings, which are spectacular. Now, Isis wings are basically a cape with two long rods in them. So when you hold your arms out, you look like goddess Isis from the hieroglyphs. That's where the name comes from. My wings that I'll be working with on Saturday night are lit. They are LED lights.
So they are not the bright ones, the golden ones.
I'm not wearing the gold ones. No, I'm wearing the lit ones. And when I'm telling people, if you come to our show on Saturday night, to come on time. Because if you don't turn up on time, the house will be dark. We're actually going to have the house lights off, so my wings will have, you know, full effect on stage.
Wow.
So the idea of my piece is to welcome the sun. I'm dancing to a piece that people might know from Outlander called Dance of the Druids. Mm-hmm. And the reason I chose that piece is because its original name is The Summoning. Mm-hmm. And it is literally welcoming the sunlight and sunrise. So natural start to the show, because it'll be dark. I'll do my piece. The lights will come up. I'll welcome the sun that'll be shining on everybody for the rest of the show. So that's the piece I'm dancing to.
Amazing.
And it fits with springtime.
Springtime. Yeah.
What time it starts the show?
It starts at 6:30 p.m. And okay. I can tell you prices. Children are $5 a ticket and adults $10 a ticket.
Okay.
And you can actually go to have a look on Facebook for the Performing Arts Collective, and you can get all the links from there. Mm-hmm. And also, yeah, it's at the Plymouth International, which is nice and accessible. Everybody can get to that easily.
Yeah.
And we're really excited about it. We've got dress rehearsal Saturday morning, and I think it's going to be really amazing.
Amazing, yeah. I'm looking forward to that. And can you tell us how many nationalities or how many countries are performing there?
I couldn't even tell you exactly how many. We've got lots of people coming from India. We've got Korean. We've got Vietnamese. We've got Filipino. We've, you know, New Zealanders. We've got people from different, well, Juniper, of course, is from California.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we've got just so many different nationalities. In fact, we've got ladies coming from India who will be presenting, that their modelling bit will be set to music, where they will be showing how to put on a sari from all 12 regions of India.
Hmm. Wow.
So that's really interesting.
Nice.
So, and again, sharing the diversity within nations, and because, you know, one size does not fit all, and there are loads and loads of different dialects and styles of costuming from lots and lots of different parts of the world. Mm-hmm. And which is another thing I like about the Performing Arts Collective, because we get to meet and experience and be educated in a really cool way.
Yeah, sounds amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's such a great event for Taranaki, and I think Performing Arts, they do such a great job for for bringing all the nationalities and the dancing, you know, together in the same place.
Absolutely. And we're working very hard towards doing more collaborative work between groups. You know, for example, we're hoping next year, say we've got a group of dancers, maybe they could actually perform to one of the bands dancing, playing live. Mm-hmm. So we're actually looking more and more and more at how we collaborate more with each other. And next year, we're actually looking at doing two shows.
Good
so,
on you.
Yeah, no, the growth that's going on, and the energy that's come into the Performing Arts Collective recently is just absolutely wonderful. Mm-hmm. And we're full of ideas and inspiration, and we welcome more people, and we want more people to come on board.
Mm. Yeah, so if somebody wants to be part of Performing Arts Board, do they have just to contact you, or how is it done?
Okay, well, they could contact, again, go to the Facebook is the easiest one. We do have a website that's actually about to go live. There is a placeholder there at the moment. At the moment, Facebook's the easiest way to find us, and all of the information you need to know is there.
And mm-hmm. So search Performing Arts.
Search Taranaki. Performing Arts Collective Taranaki.
Collective Taranaki.
Yep.
Packed.
Pack.
Packed, yep.
Yep. Pek Taranaki.
Beautiful.
Taranaki.
Yeah.
Sweet. Yeah. I'm surprised you're not in the show, Alina.
Yeah.
Yeah, not this year. I think, yes, not this year. I think I have too many things going on. So
too much,
maybe next year.
Yeah.
Yeah, and my kids wanted to have some modeling, but yeah, I think we will plan for next year.
Cool.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, yeah. I'm out of town this weekend, so I will not be able to
attend.
Oh, right. Bother.
Big sad face.
Yeah, big sad face. Yeah, because it is good. We will be filming it.
So, oh, cool.
Yeah, awesome. It's going to be filmed.
Sounds
so
like a great time.
Life.
The multicultural aspect of it sounds
yeah.
Really,
and this is something that we've really, really, really pushed and encouraged. I mean, we've got Māori. Akiri is going to be doing a thing with Poi.
Mm. Oh, amazing.
She teaches a lot of kapa haka skills, including poi. And so we're looking at next year doing things slightly differently. Well, I won't give too much away right now. But we're really excited because there's just so much potential for growth and expression. And we really want to get young people out there developing their skills, having performance opportunities, and also getting over any nervousness. We've got one young lady who's going to be singing, I can't remember how old she is. I think she's about 13, 14. First time she's actually going to be singing live in front of an audience.
Wow.
Like this. So really encouraging. Mm-hmm. We've got incredible talent. So encouraging them to get out there and actually and shine, that it's okay to shine. This is the other thing. A lot of people, especially from certain cultures, have a major issue with being the center of attention. You know, it's, mm-hmm. it's they get nervous about it. It might be discouraged. I remember growing up, I was told very categorically that being the center of attention was a very bad thing. And drawing attention to oneself was a no-no. So, which was very sad, you know, a big sad face for me, because this is, as a three-year-old, I used to sort of race around the house in one of Mum's petticoats wearing red clogs. With my hairbrush, singing. So, like at three, I mean, my father took a lot of photos of that. I wouldn't have believed it if he hadn't, because I don't really remember that. But I think, yeah, born performer. And so, you know, getting people out there to shine is really important to us, because, I mean, I don't think you don't diminish other people when you shine.
Yeah.
You actually encourage other people.
Mm.
Yeah, exactly. And you give them an opportunity to do the same, right?
Exactly, exactly. Mm. And so
And you have, I wanted to ask you, you have a lot of workshops there going on, right? So
yeah, we do. And again, once the website's up and running, in fact, if you just Google for our website, I'm fairly certain that you can actually get in there and have a look at the placeholder and with upcoming details. It's in under construction at the moment. But we've got a lot going into that,
mm-hmm.
a lot of information. But the workshops, we've done taster workshops. I did a costuming workshop. We've had Bollywood workshops, and we've got a lot of other workshops coming up. We've done African dance, African drumming,
mm-hmm.
Just a huge variety. And we're open to suggestions. If we get enough requests for a particular style of performance, we will do the workshop.
Yeah.
As long as you attend, don't request it and then don't turn up.
And what I really like about arts, performing arts, is that you have workshops and it's available to everybody. You
yeah,
know?
It's everybody.
Yeah, and yeah. I think it's because sometimes, you know, there are also other workshops for kids, you know, like mm-hmm. dance classes, and there is, you know, Academy of Dance, and there are lots in town.
Yeah.
But I think performing arts, it's giving you the opportunity to do it as you want, right? You don't have, if you want to make your own choreography, you can make your own choreography. The kids can be their own teacher.
Yeah.
So they don't have to follow somebody.
Yeah. So, I mean, so the idea of our workshops also is to give people a taste of something.
Mm.
Because if you sign up to classes and you decide, ooh, this isn't really me, this isn't what I want to keep doing, you've kind of committed. I know some places actually allow you to come in casually, class by class. Others insist on a term investment.
Yeah.
So if you come along to a taster or a workshop, you can then get a feel for whatever is happening, and you can go, yeah, actually, I'd like to keep doing this. So we can put people in contact with those. You know, for example, Bollywood, there are several dancers in our region who regularly teach Bollywood. So if you come along to a workshop and go, yes, I love this, you can then be put in contact with those people who teach regularly.
Nice.
So, okay. Yeah, that's just one of many examples.
Mm-hmm. Providing those tasters is really valuable.
So I
ended up in the improv Taranaki scene and attending classes, but the first time it was offered strictly as a course, mm-hmm. and I really just didn't want to commit to a full, you know, course-long uh-huh. commitment, having never done improv uh-huh. before. Mm-hmm. And then it started to be offered just as a koha. I said, oh, okay, I can just show up once and try it. Yeah. Instantly fell in love with it and yep. continued to go every week. But it was really that the commitment to an entire course can be quite the hurdle for
exactly
for people who have zero experience for,
exactly.
for these types of things.
I mean, zero experience, and also it can be, you know, let's face it, you're sort of making a financial commitment to things as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we've all got to watch where we spend our money.
And time.
Yeah.
Time is a huge commodity. I mean, time's really essential. And the biggest issue that we actually have as a collective is actually getting everyone together in one place at one time because everybody has so much else going on.
Yeah.
And we also tend to find that people who join committees, we're a bit that way inclined. I'm in a fortunate position where my time is very flexible because I'm technically self-employed. You know, I can just make my own hours. Though there are days I have to admit, I think I would rather not be doing this. I would rather be in the garden. But but I do. You don't have to make a long-term commitment when you have a taster festival. You can come along and just do one or two workshops and be done with it. If you fall in love with something, keep going. If you go, yeah, I tried it, but not my thing, then that's okay too.
Yeah, and Performing Arts Collective, it's only in Taranaki or
it's everywhere? It's Taranaki wide. This is specifically Taranaki Performing Arts Collective. And yes, there are other collectives around the country.
Okay,
so but we're quite unique mm-hmm. in many regards.
Ah, nice. So the idea came here in Taranaki.
I'm not sure with the original idea, but we're one of many.
Wow, amazing.
All over the world. I know that there are collectives similar to ours in different parts of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But our key, I guess, we've been congratulated, shall I say, by funders on being very, very focused on diversity and being welcoming and inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the whole, we're family friendly as well. We have people from a variety of age groups, right up from school age children, and in fact, kindy kids. Going into aged care facilities and doing little kapa haka songs in front of the old folks. And I know that's not politically correct, old folks, but the age generation,
yes.
you know, just going in and actually performing. I mean, I've performed with a finca, the drum group. I did in a rest home a few months back. And that was a joy. I mean, so, you know, we get to go out into the community as well.
And do other stuff, right?
And do, yeah.
And when you were saying that you were working in the U.S. or?
Yeah, my job in the U.S. was, I was meant to be there for 12 months. I stayed for 8 months. It feels like somebody else. It actually feels like that they say that the past is another country. And it quite literally is. That was back in 1990-91, during what I like to call Gulf War Part 1. Desert Storm was happening. So it was really interesting being in the United States as a young, I was only 21, a young nurse working in a children's hospital, and I was working on the neuroscience unit. So we specialised in anything to do with central nervous system. So that was, kids with cancer, brain tumours, spinal injuries, you name it. And that was really the first time I experienced kind of the US culture. The gun culture was quite eye-opening for me. And I have to say, without getting political, I'm not really surprised that things are going the way they are in the USA at the moment, based on what I experienced back in 1990.
Mm.
Because a lot of the very negative ideas and feelings that have bubbled to the surface and become mainstream now were still very much alive and well there in Arkansas. And we are talking about the middle of the Bible Belt, a lot of racism. There were still laws on the books in Little Rock that dated back to the 1960s, where every single council member was a member of the KKK.
Yeah.
And they were making laws that targeted impoverished people. For example, you were not allowed, there was a bylaw in the city limits that said you were not allowed to hang your laundry outdoors. Mm. Now that, of course, the majority of the impoverished folk inside city limits were black. So where were they going to hang their laundry? Now that came about because dryers, automatic dryers became a thing. 1960s, you think about when technology started moving forward. So suddenly people with money were able to buy a dryer, and so they could dry everything inside in their dryer.
Mm. And the politicians probably opened up a bunch of laundromats.
Oh, yeah, they did. I'm sure they did. Mm. But it was really bizarre to think that in 1990, that was still on the books. Yeah. You could not dry your laundry outdoors.
There are so many interesting rules on those times. And I imagine for you, going to US was quite a challenge. And how is the cultural aspect like?
It was really...
How could you make yourself at home in the US?
In the US, interestingly, I made myself at home with British nurses, especially one Welsh nurse, and the local black women. I will tell you now, African American mm-hmm. women are freaking amazing.
Amazing.
They welcomed me.
Mm-hmm.
And they were particularly welcoming. When I found out that I was pregnant, they just wrapped around and took care of me. And they
wow.
made me at home. And I have to say that, I mean, they were very, very protective of me.
Mm-hmm.
And in part, that was because I went there very naive and raised in a family where racism wasn't a thing. We just mm-hmm. never, and New Zealand culture, yes, we've had our issues, but not to the same degree that you see in the southern US.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, holy cow. That was eye-opening, actually seeing blatant, outright racism. And it was those beautiful ladies who just wrapped around, gave me support. One of my best friends was from, he was a Mexican from Texas, and his mum didn't even meet me, but she was sending food with him to the hospital, saying, here, feed
yeah.
this girl.
It's amazing, right, how food can come and, you know, embracing culture. Like
yeah.
you can see here also in New Zealand, you know, food is so important.
It absolutely
and
is.
In Europe is the same, and I didn't know that in the US it's also similar, right?
Yeah, no, they were bringing me fried chicken, fried okra, and then Enrique would come in with these big big containers of homemade tortillas. It was amazing. Homemade, fresh. And his mum used to grow her own vegetables and okra. So I was being cared for by this community of women who have had, you know, they've had it rough. And
yeah.
they know about challenges, and so they just all wrapped around and made sure I was cared for. They also liked my professionalism. I mean, the women that I worked with, I was a very fair nurse. It was one of the things from healthcare in the USA that really shocked me was the division. How to put this? It was very, very elitist. There's definitely a pecking order, a hierarchy, depending on how qualified you are. So if you're a registered nurse, you have more authority over the healthcare assistants, and then again, it's sort of like you keep going up and up and up to the specialists. I used to joke that they were like second cousin to God, you know. And there was this difference, so I didn't put myself above those ladies. Mm. I worked alongside them. Because my philosophy in leadership is, if you are not willing to do the same work that you expect other people to do, then don't expect to be respected by them.
Right. And I think this is something that you can see in New Zealand, maybe. You know, there
yeah.
is no hierarchy. And
I would dispute that.
Maybe we'd not discuss about
that. That's a whole other topic of conversation. If you want me to come in and talk to you about the hierarchy in healthcare in particular, in the health and disability sector, and why we
yeah.
need an advocacy service in the first place.
Yes, and this point of view is right, yeah.
Yeah, we actually have in New Zealand, sadly, a serious problem with workplace bullying.
Mm.
And it is particularly prevalent in the healthcare sector.
So interesting, huh?
Police service. You know, I've heard all sorts of stories anecdotally, and I've witnessed it personally. And one of the reasons I've actually left the health and disability sector is because the structure and the attitudes from leadership are actually quite toxic.
And I think, you know, like talking about migrants, right? And people who are coming from different countries, like for us to understand that and how is done, right?
Exactly.
It's quite a challenge. So, and unfortunately, we can't talk about too much on the radio.
No, we can't talk about that too much.
Yes. But maybe we can change the subject.
It's a whole other thing, yeah. No, but that's where I'm coming from as far as leaving and having to change career, because that was self-care. That was actually a choice to remove myself from an increasingly toxic environment. Mm-hmm.
And find
something healing.
Yes.
Was that through self-employment, or is that the advocacy work that you ended up doing?
I was working for a service that formally provides advocacy.
Okay.
Not-for-profit organization. Mm-hmm. And that was important to me too, is making sure that people... And again, this is why I love the Performing Arts Collective. It's accessible to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And... You know, again, not getting political, I was raised by a socialist grandmother influencing me. She had three photographs on her wall. One was Che Guevara. She had Oscar Wilde, and she had Michael Joseph Savage on her wall. And they just went with her everywhere she went. She always rented. She never owned a home. And if you know the history of any of those men, that will just give you an indication of the kind of person she was. And those were the ideas I was raised with, that racism's stupid and that you need to take care of people.
Yeah, and I think
and take care of each other.
Obviously, what you do through performing arts is also, integrating people and taking care of everybody. And, given the situations that you were going through and having this kind of experiences, in different parts of the world, what would you tell, for example, new people who are coming in New Zealand, and how should they integrate? What are the good things?
Good things are
in New Zealand.
Finding community in New Zealand is find your passion. If you like singing, if you like art, if you like gardening, whatever your particular passion is, find a group that does that in your community. If there isn't anybody doing that in your community, then actually start it. Start it yourself. And don't be afraid. And what I've actually found is community is often what you make of it. I know that might sound a bit weird, but actually it's amazing how when you start putting something out there, you just attract to yourself and you draw in like-minded people. And it's amazing the diverse backgrounds. If you've got one particularly positive thing that you're interested in, and for example, herbs, growing herbs, there are loads and loads of different organisations that will give you lots of advice. And gardeners generally, and we've got the garden festivals here, I mean, my goodness,
it's amazing,
a place of festivals, Taranaki. They will happily share their information and they will welcome newcomers. They're like, yes, another convert. We can get people growing herbs. We can get people dancing. We can get people doing drums. And that's just find what it is you're passionate about. And that may be learning the language even. There are lots and lots of people in New Zealand who are very, very keen to teach English and to help people actually join community. I've heard some sad stories, but for the most part, we are very welcoming.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to remember that we all actually, Alina and I have discussed this before, we all technically have an immigrant past in New Zealand. I said, fourth generation New Zealander on one side of the family, they just rode the boat straight up the Whanganui River, got off, and set up a shop selling musical instruments.
So your grandparents, they came from Ireland.
Well, on one side, there's Irish and Scottish and Welsh, and of course a little bit of English. But the Irish and the Scottish is very strong, and I'm only learning a little bit about the Welsh now.
Wow. So how did you track your family tree?
Well, we've got family members who were very interested, so they kept family histories. I've got siblings who've done DNA testing. I haven't done that yet, but those results have been very interesting. And recently I went, I had a little bit of fun. I don't know if you've heard of the Wuthering Heights Day for Kate Bush's birthday. I actually went and joined that dance session at Pukekura Park recently.
No, we didn't.
Go and look that up. I didn't even know it was a thing. It's been going since 2016. So I jumped on board with that.
Wow.
Because, yeah, dancing to Wuthering Heights in red, great. Mm-hmm. But there was a lady there from the UK who actually started speaking to me in Welsh because she heard my name. Bronwyn is a Welsh name. Hughes is a Welsh surname. So. Mm-hmm. And I said, no, sorry, I don't have Semeru. And then she told me very categorically that I'm a Viking.
Wow.
When because we've traced our Welsh family heritage back to Pembrokeshire, which is on the coast of Wales, and of course was raided frequently by those Scandinavians. And she very jokingly told me that in Wales there are two options. It's to be a tall Viking descent with high cheekbones or a round Celt. Which I found amusing, but yeah, she immediately recognised the heritage when I told her Pembrokeshire. She said, ah, yeah, because that's where she grew up in the UK and she knows.
So amazing that you can find people you know, going through the same.
It's really interesting.
Have you been to that part of the world?
Not yet. Okay. I'm planning on going in about another 2 years. I'm actually putting a plan together to actually do a trip all around that, particularly around Wales and Ireland.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
The connection between Pembrokeshire and the Irish is quite significant. I mean, you can sort of, on a clear day from the Welsh coast, you can see across to Ireland.
Mm.
And there's a myth that I've, you know, another thing I'm interested in developing is storytelling. I'm looking at the story of Branwen, the Welsh goddess, who died of a broken heart because her silly brother got into a war with the Irish over a slight. But she is represented by the swallow, and we get welcome swallows on our farm.
Mm-hmm.
So you start looking and you start seeing connections where you are here, and you start seeing links and connections with the place you used to come from or your ancestors came from, and actual links and connections between other people as well. Because we think about the migratory birds and butterflies that come to and from the South Pacific, a lot of those animals have come from far distant lands, and so there'll be a special story where they come from, maybe in Africa, and then there'll be a Māori story about the same bird.
Wow.
Butterflies, for example, I'm looking at sort of a butterfly-themed show in the future, because there is a myth or a story from every single human culture, including in Māori, around butterflies.
Mm.
So it's also sort of linking in and finding connections from where you come from, your ancestry, and also that we all actually have very, very similar ideas. I mean, the whole butterfly thing, for example, most cultures have a very similar notion of the butterfly spirit. And we talk about rebirth, change, metamorphosis, and it's the similar right across human experience. So that just tells me that we've got a lot more in common as humans than we do different. You know, acknowledge the differences and celebrate them, but also we are essentially all the same,
right?
At heart.
Yeah. And I think it's great, you know, the way you see things, and especially with, you know, performing arts, mm-hmm. and also what you are talking about, roots and discovering your own roots and where mm-hmm. you are coming from. What would you recommend to people who are new in a country or in a place? How should they make themselves at home?
Make yourself at home by stepping out of your comfort zone. Mm. Say hello to your neighbours. Join a community group. And be open as well. And I know depending on where you come from, that can be really frightening. depending on background. But actually, don't be afraid to reach out. And as I say, yeah, join a group like Performing Arts Collective. You don't have to be a performer. You can be a supporter. You can work backstage, or you can sew costumes, or, you know, you just do something with your community, your new community. How I got to make myself at home and create community was joining Fifth Element Belly Dance.
Yeah. I mean, so this was the first thing that you did when you came in Taranaki?
Almost the first thing. Basically, the first thing I did was get settled in on the farm and get used to the fact that I was now living on a place I'd always dreamed about living on. Yay, I'm on the land.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
I'd always wanted to do that. Then I started looking around at making new friends. How do I connect with people? How do I form a community, a network of support? And then I'd done belly dance a few years earlier in Whanganui. I'd done Latin American dance in Christchurch for years. I used to help teach tango. It's a little secret. So it was looking at, okay, so where can I connect? And I came across Fifth Element on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Started coming along to the classes, and then, you know, met you and a whole lot of other very lovely ladies.
Yes.
And formed community.
Yeah.
And then I started looking at other ways of expressing my creativity, and then came across the Performing Arts Collective and actually did a solo piece at last year's show, and then was invited. I was basically co-opted onto the committee. It's like, will you join us? Yes, okay. Because I'm full of bright ideas, and I'm not afraid. If people say no, that's okay, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't know until you put yourself out there. And that's what I encourage people to do, is just put yourself out there, be open. I know there's a very, and it's good to also find other people with the similar backgrounds, maybe have come from the same places, but don't lock yourself into that. Don't stay in your own your little bubble. Be prepared to make the bubble grow bigger.
Yeah, and it's such a great advice, you know, for us to not to stay in the same place and just go out there. The same, like I joined the belly dance, I didn't even know what kind of dance I'm doing. And I've never done belly dancing before, but I came because I didn't know anyone.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It was a great opportunity.
Starting over fresh is a great opportunity to try new things and
absolutely
chase up on various interests and test the boundaries and find,
Well, I mean, to put it in context, if I'd gone off to try and do performance where I grew up, for example, and then spent 11 years in a very staid, you know, respectable profession, health and disability advocate. It was a very formalized profession. In my own town, that would have actually been a bit more difficult to break into, just, you know, go across and break into performing arts the way I've done here if I'd stayed there. Because here it is literally a fresh start with people who've never met me before and they don't know me as that.
Yeah.
Because other people do like to put you in boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you start fresh, you know, you can reinvent yourself, right?
Yes, you can.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
There's the idea of wearing masks. And,
exactly.
You know, often something I experience whenever I go back to where I grew up is I kind of put on that old mask that I used to wear there and fall back into old habits and old behaviors. And I think, you know, I catch myself and think to myself, I've changed. I've grown out of all these patterns, but it's the environment that kind of...
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Causes that to occur, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And we have those masks in those places for certain reasons, too.
Oh, we do.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Not. It's not a criticism. It's simply a fact.
Yeah. It's part of our psychology.
It's part of our psychology. It's often a survival mechanism.
Very much so, yeah.
If I don't fit into this little role that I have been given, or I've had to adopt for myself, then things aren't going to go so well for me.
Right.
And this is why I think that coming to a new place, whether you've come from another country, just coming from another town, it is important to think about that reinvention and the kind of person you would like to be in the community you want. And to create the community you want to be a part of.
Yeah, around you, right?
There in a new place, for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, that might sound glib, but actually, I think, again, getting over the fear, I think the fear of change and the fear of doing something new and the fear of being rejected. And keeping in mind, too, that there are all kinds of people in our communities, and some of them aren't all that welcoming, but there, for the most part, we have a very welcoming community. And to find those people, you know, seek them out. And also, what you put out there often comes back to you. And if you're sort of going, if you go into the supermarket with a big smile, it's amazing the stupid conversations you end up having with complete strangers, you know, silly conversations.
Right, yeah.
I think about the conversations I've had completely out of left field with a complete stranger, and I'll probably never meet them again. But it's because I've got open body language. I'm smiling. I'm saying hello. Mm. We're griping over the price of the broccoli or whatever. So, you know, you find a common point and then you start a chat, and it's amazing. It's actually amazing how easy it is if you just open up. Mm. And even starting on something as apparently inconsequential is the price of a particular item.
Yeah.
It's amazing what opens up.
Exactly right. And you're right in everything that you say. And I think it's a great conversation that we are having. And because I know we are almost out of time. I was interested, you said about the costume that is here at Access Radio Taranaki, that you had an exposition about the punk.
Oh, the steampunk.
Steampunk. Tell us costume. A little bit about...
Okay, so a few months ago, we actually had, I'm also part of Steampunk Taranaki, the Mild, Mild West, which is, you know, not wild. Well, we can be sometimes because we've got terrible, terrible humour. Absolutely shocking. We did actually have an exhibition here at the Art Space, and where we all brought in items, teapot races and costumes. One of my costumes, one of my favourites that I actually put on display, was my wind-up doll. Mm. So my husband actually laser cut, and it's got a ratchet, so when you turn the key, it actually makes a nice grinding noise. But I walk in it as if I'm a wind-up doll. So that was there, and some of the other ladies brought in their spectacular costumes. But our teapot races are exactly what they sound. That they are a teapot placed on top of a radio control car base. And we do. We actually, again, Steampunk Taranaki, Mild Mild West, we're on Facebook. And again, that's completely free. There's no, again, absolutely no need for anyone to commit themselves, but if we do have events, we often put that all over social media.
Nice.
Because it's fun. I mean, teapot racing, honestly. We've got an obstacle course, we do time trials, we just sometimes cheat. Bribery is encouraged in our teapot races. Shiny things for our local judge. She likes anything that's blingy, so...
Okay, so yeah, for whoever is interested to be part of the Steampunk Taranaki, get in contact with Bronwyn, and we will also add this on our Facebook page. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, great. Amazing, Bronwyn.
Thank you.
Thank you for all your knowledge and sharing all the good things in Taranaki and also at Performing Arts. So whoever wants to meet Bronwyn, she is at Performing Arts Taranaki. Mm-hmm. And on the 13th of September. Saturday, 6:30, you said, right?
Yep, at the Plymouth International.
Yes, so you will find her there performing. So be on time because she's the first one.
And on the first, and it's going to be dark. They want to get everybody in and seated before the lights go off. It's a safety issue.
Yes.
Okay. And I'm jealous to all the listeners that actually get to go to the show. Oh, I wish I could be there.
It's going to be awesome. Absolutely fabulous.
Amazing. Yes. Yeah, thank you for today. Thank you, Brian, for co-hosting with me.
My pleasure, as always.
Yes. Thank you, Bronwyn, for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And see you everybody, same time, same place, next Monday, 11 a.m. Access Radio Taranaki, 104.4 FM.
Have a great week, Taranaki.
See you
Saturday.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website accessradiotaranaki.com.